This is Afternoons on ABC Radio.
The subject that we're about to speak about does touch on some mental health issues, and it could bring up a couple of troubles for you. So I'm going to give you some important phone numbers straight off the bat if you are struggling. You can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14. And for any of our younger listeners, if this brings up anything for you, if there's bullying going on at school or there's something really troubling you that you can't speak to your parents about, you can call 1-800-55-1800. Now, today, Amy Dolly Everett will be laid to rest in a service in the Northern Territory that her family promises will be a celebration of the 14-year-old's too short life. As the devastating effects of bullying are felt in the most dreadful way by one Australian family, I know there are parents around the country who are also searching for answers. We all want to know how to keep our kids safe and also how to build a culture where all children are safe, including online. Cyberbullying and its effects on kids and teenagers is a key priority for my next guest, eSafety Commissioner Julie Inman-Grant, who joins the program now. Julie, welcome to ABC Radio.
Thank you so much, Jamila.
Now, Julie, what was your reaction to the tragic news of Dolly Everett's death?
Absolutely devastating. The eSafety Office was set up for precisely this purpose, to keep kids in particular, but all Australians safe online. We're the only government agency in the world to do so. And we've got a lot of dedicated people here whose mission is to keep people safe. So obviously, to know that a young person didn't know about the help that was available to them, and for it to escalate to this level is tragic, and I give the Everett family props for being so incredibly magnanimous and celebrating Dolly's life, but also trying to turn this terrible situation into something that others can learn from and to spread awareness about cyberbullying.
Yeah, and in those sort of dark moments, I suppose we look for something positive that we can do and how we can and make improvements so there's not another young person who ever has to feel like this. I know that bullying's, it's always been a problem for school students. It's been around since the dawn of time, but cyberbullying presents a lot of new challenges for families, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And, cyberbullying has been prevalent for the past 10 years. As long as there's been text messaging and email and particularly online gaming and social media, which encourages interaction. And you get some of those keyboard warriors behind the anonymity of the computer. And part of the problem is when you're hurling taunts or mean comments at someone online, you're not actually seeing the devastating impact you're having. And for the victim, of course, cyberbullying is pervasive and persistent. It can happen at all hours of the day or night, and it's because it's being sent by technology, and technology is so pervasive for young people, they feel like they can't escape it.
Yeah, I think for me, some of the most chilling aspects of that is the idea that home for kids these days is not necessarily a safe haven anymore. If you're being bullied, you can't escape what's going on at home, at school, because when you get home, it's still there. It's on your device. It's on your computer. It's on your smartphone when you're even in bed.
That's right. Well, and I think that's why it's so important to encourage safe and healthy and moderated technology use, so that the phone or the device isn't pervasive. It's not going into the room with kids. Kids need to sleep. They need to regenerate. But I think the most important thing is to be able for families or for trusted adults to be having open and honest conversations with their kids early and often about the fact that they'll be there if they come across anything that's upsetting or if they're being bullied, and to connect as a family rather than to disconnect from the device. Because one of the things you see parents do when they're at a loss is that take away the device. When you take away a phone or an iPad from a kid today, it's like taking away their left arm.
Yeah. So can I ask, we use this term cyberbullying and we talk about it a lot, but if I'm a parent of a teenager or even a tween and like, what sort of signs should I be looking for? I mean, what does cyberbullying look like from the parents' perspective?
Well, from the parents' perspective, they can look at a couple of signs that might include things like if your child's suddenly being secretive about their online activities, they may be avoiding going to school or social outings. Do they look nervous when they're receiving a text or an online message? Are they deleting accounts? Has there been a decline in grades, a change in friendship groups? You know, these are signs that may indicate a lot of different mental illnesses or troubles that they're having. But again, I think having that open and honest conversation that you're there to help them through the situation, whatever it is, to respond calmly and to listen carefully if they come to you about this sort of issue and to help walk them through it is the best thing you can do. Parents can also come to the esafety.gov.au website. We have an iParent portal, which will help give them scripts on how to talk to kids online, depending on what the situation is. It talks about the latest apps and programs that kids might be using. There is a skills gap between parents and kids, but what kids don't have that we have as adults is experience, maturity, and that resilience that we develop over time. So we need to help kids develop that resilience, but also intervene early so it doesn't escalate to a serious level.
Julie, are there particular apps or social media platforms that parents should be really wary about?
I think there is a very good reason that most social media sites use 13 as the age that they should be, using the technology. And that is because this online onslaught, younger kids aren't really equipped to deal with. I know I've got a 12-year-old. I know you've got kids too. There's a lot of peer pressure to be on Instagram or on Snapchat to organize events and that sort of thing. But really, I think you need to wait until it's age appropriate. You should continue to stay engaged in your kids' online lives. You know, you wouldn't send your 12-year-old off to a mall without some kind of parental supervision. So you need to know who your kids are talking to. The other thing I would warn parents about is there are a lot of great educational interactive games that have chat functions on them. If those games have chat functions on them, either turn off the chat function or put on the privacy settings or at least validate that you know who your kids are talking to.
You're on ABC Radio with Jamila Rizvi, and my guest is Julie Inman-Grant, who is Australia's eSafety Commissioner. I'd love to know, how do you talk to your children about mental health and bullying? How do you make sure they're feeling good and safe at school? Send me a text, 0437 774 774. Julie, I wanted to know, do we need to be counselling teenage girls and boys differently about cyberbullying? Does gender play a role in how kids encounter this stuff?
Well, we know 1 in 5 Australians aged 8 to 17 have experienced cyberbullying. Girls are more likely to experience cyberbullying than boys. But to me, it's all about, remember when we grew up, it was all about reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
I think the lessons we need to learn now in this online world are respect, responsibility, resilience, and then critical reasoning, all values that we want our kids to be living in their real lives and that we should be living too, obviously. We do coddle our kids a lot, and if you think of the metaphor of falling over and skinning your knee and getting yourself back up and dusting yourself back off, the only way a kid can develop digital resilience is to be able to experience some of this stuff to a certain degree and know how to bounce back and to have strategies about how to respond to a bullying comment, to peer pressure, to send a nude, to even exposure to inappropriate content. You know, in this day and age, it's not a matter of if a child's going to experiencing something confronting online, it's a matter of when. And so we need to make sure that they're prepared and have the skills they need to be able to cope with this online onslaught.
If there's a parent listening at the moment who's concerned that their child is being bullied, what should they do? What are the first steps that they can take?
Right. Well, as I said before, try to respond calmly and listen carefully and let them know you're there to support them. Find out as much information as you can. You know, do they know where the bullying has come from or the person or group behind it? isn't an extension of something that's happening at school, and collect any screenshots for evidence. Now, depending on how serious the bullying is, you may want to talk to your school about it. It often happens among peer groups. If it's really, really serious, report it to the social media site because that's the most expedient way to get the content down quickly. If that doesn't work, you can come to the eSafety office and we will advocate on your behalf. 660 Australian children have come to us when they hadn't been able to get some of their bullying content off from the social media sites, and we were able to have the content taken down. So we're a one-of-a-kind service that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world.
It's wonderful to know that, that service is there. We've had a question on the text from Tony, who just wants to know, what are the consequences for those who are doing the cyberbullying? If kids are caught doing this stuff, this is incredibly serious, the degree to which some of this cyberbullying goes. What are the consequences for them?
Well, you know, again, it depends on, one, whether they're caught. Two, often schools have policies against bullying. It does vary from school to school how much they enforce the rules. Some kids have been expelled. In the most serious of cases, there are some federal provisions on the books that if you use a carriage service provider to menace, harass, or intimidate, there could be criminal charges filed against you. We also have civil powers to be able to compel takedown notices when we see serious bullying taking place that isn't taken down by the social media site. We can also compel a user to apologize to a person, but that, of course, is predicated on us being able to identify who the person is behind the Twitter handle or Facebook account.
And what about the flip side of what we've been talking about? I mean, if you're a parent listening now and your concern is that your child might be the bully and that your child might be contributing to a bullying culture at their school, what can you do to step in there? Are there resources online available for the parents of the bullies as well as the bullied?
There are resources available, and you know, it would be very painful to find out that your child is bullying others. But often these children that are bullies, they may be victims themselves at school, and they may those that target others are probably in need of some kind of help. So you can't really look beyond the golden rule. You need to talk to them about how it feels to be left out or teased. You might encourage them to apologize for their behavior. We need to model good behavior ourselves as parents, and that means putting the phone down at the dinner table and also talking to others with respect. You know, your kid might need some counseling or help. So, you know, this is one of the key messages I want to get across to everyone. There is no shame in asking for help. When you're being bullied, if you are the bully, if you know someone's being bullied, there are lots of great services that you set out there, Beyond Blue, Lifeline, Kids Helpline, and the eSafety office if you need help with cyberbullying material being taken down.
Julie, thank you so much for your time today. I know it's an incredibly difficult day and a busy one for you. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for your time.
That was Julie Inman-Grant from the eSafety Commission, and their website is where you can go if you need some resources or some help as a parent when it comes to bullying. And again, if you've heard anything in that interview that is troubling you, then there are some numbers that you can call. There is help around 24 hours a day. Lifeline is there on 13 11 14. That's 13 11 14. And then if you are a younger person, if you're a kid listening to this and you feel like you need some help or you need to talk to someone that's not your parents, you can call 1800 55 1800. And again, that's www.esafety.gov.au if you want to have a look at some of those resources that Julie was talking about.
This is Afternoons on ABC Radio.